Hello and welcome to TSN The Reporters Podcast. I'm Dave Hodge with Dave Naylor, Michael Farber, and Steve Simmons to talk about what's all the rage in Toronto. Not the Leafs. It's the Raptors in the NBA playoffs, in part because the Leafs aren't in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Raptors are what everybody's talking about, even after a loss to the Brooklyn Nets. So what do the Raptors have to do, first of all, to get back and win this series, and secondly, to take advantage of this opportunity they have in the spotlight, Steve?
Well, I think they have to establish who they are and what their game is, because in game one, they certainly weren't able to do that. It looked like everything Brooklyn did worked, especially defensively. And, you know, the old hockey line, your best players better be your best players. DeMar DeRozan, who was their all-star, was almost a no-show in game one. He has to be a factor, and if he's not, they are going to have to... Dwayne Casey's going to have to find a way to respond to what the Nets did to them in game one.
All they have to do is take care of the ball. They turned it over 17 times. You can't do that, and you have to keep pounding it inside to Valanciunas, because Brooklyn plays a small lineup. They're not very good in the middle, and I don't see any real problems there.
And you think of how many Raptors yesterday played their first playoff game. The atmosphere was different. The style of game was different. Just the level of competition. They're going to have to adjust to that as the series goes on. It looked like a team that predictably had a lot of playoff jitters.
Paul Pierce has more playoff minutes than the entire Raptor team combined.
To my point.
Yes. And down the stretch, what happened? Paul Pierce took over everything.
Yeah.
So this presumably is why the Nets wanted to play the Raptors. You know, there's a lesson here to not try to pick your opponent, but maybe the Nets aren't going to be the example that you use if they use this to their advantage. And that was pretty obvious in game one.
Well, we saw youth against experience. Now, we look at experience two ways. It's like, yeah, there's graffiti artists or they're vandals. And it depends on your viewpoint. I know the Toronto Sun thought that the Brooklyn Nets were dinosaurs. In fact, they are experienced. And if you look at the fourth quarter, Kevin Garnett, it wasn't really a factor, comes in, hits a big shot. And then Paul Pierce goes 4 for 5 and essentially puts the game away. I don't believe you should pick opponents necessarily, but it has worked in all kinds of sports, including Sweden in the 2006 Olympics, avoiding Canada and tanking against Slovakia. So we've seen it can work. It doesn't always
work. It's worked for one game. Might it have worked to get the Raptors just a little too excited and interested to answer back, as Masai Ujiri did and as the team was not able to do? I mean, is this organization just too fired up at this point?
Well, it was a bit of a surreal day yesterday between Masai Ujiri's F-bomb to the crowd outside in advance of the game, to the shot clock that wouldn't work, to the whole atmosphere that was so jacked up. I mean, I was sitting in the crowd at the game yesterday. It was remarkable just in advance of the game, just how crazy people were going. And I think there was, again, it speaks to kind of the theme of everything being a little bit different. And that's just what happens in the playoffs. And being able to stay composed and not be off your game when all those other elements are kind of changing around you is part of what the Raptors have to deal with.
I think there's a bunch of things at play here. And some of it's basketball and some of it's bigger picture than basketball. The entire week leading up to the game was about Toronto on the NBA map, which they've never been.
It almost feels like they're not part of the NBA.
Well, that's why they've come up with this ad campaign where they're, you know, northern exposure, whatever you want to call it, you know, and they're trying to say, we're here and we belong and all this is going on. At the same time, the GM's outside trying to stir up the crowd, and he knows he's going to make news by doing what he's doing. And everything went a certain way, but on the court is what matters.
But right. And on the court, 94 feet. But all the other stuff, and we're going to spend time talking about it until things turn around in the series for the Raptors, and I think it will. But it's 94 feet, and when DeMar DeRozan is clanking shots and Kyle Lowry is not as effective as he has been and Paul Pierce has his way, that's what counts.
All that said, the fact that Jonas Valanciunas maybe is the only Raptor that you could say had a really good day yesterday, 7 points, which was the margin of victory, was one of the largest spreads during the game. The Raptors were, you know, neck and neck. They were tied at 73. So it wasn't like a game where all game Brooklyn led between 7 and 10 points. With about 4 minutes left, that game was still under 5. So with all these things that didn't go right from Toronto, the distractions, the nervousness, the fumbles, they still were very, this was a winnable game right until the last few minutes.
And if they get a call somewhere, yes. I mean, yeah. I'm not a guy who harps on officials much, but it was almost like they were playing the Nets and the officials in game one. Like, you're new, you're not getting a call, you don't matter. It's all part of the subtext of what this series is.
But the Raptors can't say to the officials what they said to the crowd about Brooklyn.
Yeah.
They gotta compose themselves.
The crowd said that to the officials, actually.
More ways than one. That's it for TSN, the Reporters Podcast. Till next time, thanks for being with us.